The text is the reading, the gospel from St. Luke. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Here ends the text. To say, "I don't give a fig," means to care nothing at all. Concerning our text about a fig tree, I want you to give a fig. Give a fig for the warnings here. The pagan Latin grammarian Perforio said, "The angry gods have their feet shod with wool," meaning when the gods came in judgment, you don't hear their approach. Not so the true God. St. Basil said, "This is peculiar to the clemency of God toward men, that he does not bring in punishment silently or secretly, but by his threatening first proclaims them to be at hand, thus inviting sinners to repentance." For 120 years, Noah warned of the coming judgment of the flood. Egypt had 9 plagues before God's judgment fell. Jerusalem was warned 40 years before it was destroyed. And in our text, it's been 3 years since John first warned that the axe was laid at the root of the tree, ready to chop the unfruitful trees down. Give a fig for the warnings of God that come in advance of his judgments. Pay attention to that shot across the bow, that warning shot he gives. There is a message in the 9/11 attacks. There is a message in the hurricane that destroyed New Orleans in 2005 and the one that destroyed the Northeast in 2012. There is a warning in the mass shootings of the past year. These are the threats of God in the economic collapse of 2008 and in the drought of the past couple of years. And what is the largest meteor to make contact with the Earth since 1908? What is that but a shot across the bow of planet Earth? The message, the warning, the threat is the same one those in our text were to hear from Pilate killing worshipers and a tower crushing 18 people. The message is, repent or you too will perish. You can't hear that message because our society puts wool on the true God's feet. Jerry Falwell made the 9/11 attacks about the sins of homosexuals and abortionists. Environmentalists make the hurricanes, blizzards, and droughts about climate change and the fat carbon footprints of others. The Occupy movement makes the economic collapse about other people's greed. The X-File crowd makes the meteor strike about a UFO. In short, tragedy can be about anything else other than the one thing Scripture says it's always about: our sins, my sins. Give a fig for the warnings in our world to repent. And know that if you do not, there's only one option. You must be cut down. You will be cut down. You have been mistaking pretermission of sins for remission of sins. You've mistaken God passing over sins for God forgiving sins. You've mistaken God turning a blind eye to your sins for God forgiving them. Because God does not lop off the hands and pluck out the eyes of sexual sinners immediately, we think God has remitted those sins. Because God doesn't instantly punish those who despise his word by not holding it sacred and gladly hearing and learning it, we think that those sins have been forgiven. Because unbelievers, gossipers, fornicators, and misers aren't struck by lightning immediately, we think God has forgotten their sins. God's not forgotten our sins. He has passed over them for now. The tragedies and disasters that have befallen our country in recent years are proof that He remembers and He will judge every single sin and sinner soon. He makes no secrets of this. He doesn't put on woolen shoes, but wooden ones, so you can clump, 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 hear Him coming and give a fig for the warning He is sounding. However, give a fig for His grace too. The people were told the recent tragedies in their midst were to call them to repentance. And then they were told this parable of the fig tree. The fig tree is them. It's me. It's you. For 3 years, Jesus had been preaching among them, and they were still fruitless trees. God's judgment is it's time to chop them down. But what does Jesus do? The insert has the Jesus character in the parable saying, leave it alone for one more year. But that's not what the Greek says. The Jesus character says, you must forgive it also this year. Give a fig for the startling grace being expressed here. To God the Father's imperative judgment, you must chop it down. God the Son responds with His own imperative. The word usually used for forgive, that's what He says. And note, Jesus uses the word also. This corresponds to the Father's earlier judgment, which is also missed by the insert's translation. He doesn't just say, why should it use up the soil? He says, why should it also use up the soil? In our unfruitfulness, we don't just impact us, but all the fruit-bearing things around us. We take water, nutrients, sun from them. Impenitence harms others. The Father says, you must cut it down. Why should it also use up the ground? The Son responds, you must forgive it also this year. How can He say that? Because the vine dresser takes complete responsibility for that unfruitful fig tree. Give a fig for such grace as this. The vine dresser says He will dig around it and fertilize it as if He hasn't been doing those things all along. Your Lord Jesus is taking responsibility for your lack of fruit. He says that He's responsible for the fact that you don't fear, love, and trust in God above all things. He says He's responsible for your greed, your gossip, and failure to hear and study God's Word. He says that your sexual sins are His too. Your lust, temptations, and failures all belong to Him. You know, that's what happened at Jesus' baptism, right? The holy Jesus came out of the Jordan with the sins of the world hanging heavy upon Him. You know, that's what was recorded in Gethsemane, right? There's the cup of wrath filled to the brim with all God's wrath against the sins of the world. Be sure you see your sins floating right there on top. Either you or Jesus was going to drink it. The Father gave the cup to the Son, and He drank it. You know, that's what happened on the cross, right? Jesus said, your sins are really His sins. Your guilt is really His guilt. Your fruitlessness is really His. Why else would the Father forsake the Son unless the Son was so covered with sins He couldn't see Him anymore? Give a fig for such grace. Give a fig for the warnings of God's judgment. And give a fig. That is, bear the fruit God is seeking. The fruit of a fig tree is figs. What's the fruit Jesus seeks from sinners? From the first day of His ministry, He preached, repent and believe the gospel. Jesus seeks your sin and your faith in His carrying them away. The Latin name for this third Sunday in Lent is oculi, which comes from the first word of the Latin introit, eyes. In English, it's my eyes are ever on the Lord. You'll remember historically, Lent was the season for bringing people into communion with the church. On this Sunday, the catechumens publicly renounced the devil, all his works, and all his ways. How do we get back to that sort of repentance? How do we get back to bearing that fruit? The Arabs have ancient instructions for curing an unfruitful palm tree. They say, take a hatchet and go out to the tree with a friend. Tell the friend you're going to cut down this palm tree because it's unfruitful. The friend is to answer, don't do it. This year it will certainly bear fruit. You reply that it must be cut down and then give the tree three blows with the back of the hatchet. The friend restrains you, saying that you should have patience. If it doesn't bear fruit this year, then you can cut it down. People think that's God's method too, when they regard tragedies and disasters as God's means of making us fruitful. They treat the warnings as whacks of the back of the hatchet to scare us into fruitfulness. That's not the Lord's method at all. He uses the law and the gospel. The warnings are the law. They spade up the hard, compact soil that won't let God's grace in. God's grace is the fertilizer. The holy tears He shed in Gethsemane and on the cross fill the baptismal font to wash us. His Spirit released on the cross breathes on us in absolution. The body and blood He gave and shed for us on the cross fertilizes us through communion with them. Learn how big of a miracle your Lord performs today from the ancient collect that we prayed today. In the prayer, we admit that God knows that we of ourselves have no strength. No strength to break with any sin. No strength to produce the fruits of repentance. No strength to believe the gospel. God must do the keeping of us. God must do the defending of us. And He does so in the person of Jesus Christ. None of us have an excuse to stay in any sin. Jesus has come in His word of law and spaded up the ground around us. We can't say we don't know we're unfruitful. We can't say we don't know this or that was a sin. We can't say I'll do better because we admit that we of ourselves have no strength. We can do no more than what the fig tree in the parable did. Stand there, mute, ready for the axe to fall. We have no excuses. We can make no promises. But Jesus can and does. He promises to do everything for fruitless figs. There's no sin of ours that He did not bear. There's no pain of ours that He did not share. The Latin original of our collect is more poignant than our translation. It asks that we be defended in body and cleansed in mind. Our collect asks that we be defended from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Do you see how much more powerful, how much more fertile it is to say our minds have been cleansed? Gone are your sins, cleansed are your guilt, wiped clean are your shames. Here is where your focus is to be. Your eyes are to be ever on the Lord, not on your sins, not on your failings, not on your little faith, not on your big fears. Your eyes are to be ever on the Lord who spared you, a fruitless fig tree, by willingly going to the tree of the cross. In the blood, sweat, and tears flowing from that tree comes forgiveness, mercy, and peace to fertilize us fig trees so that we may naturally give a fig, the fig of repentance and faith. Amen. Now, the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the Te Deum on...